The Bible reading tonight comes from John 17, verse 1 to 3, and then verses 13 to 23. So beginning at verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me."
Awesome, Kayla. And who is with Morel, by the way, in just really loving being back in the same room at the same time, worshipping Jesus together? At least 5% of the room, that's good. We'll hopefully bump it up by the end. But I've absolutely loved it. And if you're new to PBC, or maybe this is your only experience of Parramatta Baptist Church, I mean, this is one of three in-person services we do on a Sunday. Plus then we've got an online service as well, with sort of about 150 people kind of watching in on that one. And I have to say, as a follower of Jesus, and as a little bit of a dreamer, I have to say I get super excited at the possibility of the impact of this church community. So there is 700 people who call Parramatta Baptist Church home. And I can't, yes, absolutely. And I can't help but think and dream and get excited about the prospect of those 700 people putting into practice what Kathy was talking about last week. 700 people committed to praying for gospel workers, praying for the harvest, praying for open doors to share Jesus in their own lives. I think of the neighbourhoods and the schools and the workplaces and the sports groups that are multiplied, that we have connection into as a community of 700 people. Like, can you imagine the impact in our generation, in our city, if all 700 of us are living distinct lives, visible, showing people the difference that Jesus makes, that we're on mission every day, everywhere we go? Can you imagine? Can you even get a little taste, get a little bit excited, even more excited than the fact that we're back in the same room together? Yeah? 12%. I feel like we need like an excitement-o-meter, like up on the stage. I'll look into that for future weeks. But I get super excited about that. And that's what this series is. Yeah, everyone on mission every day. That's what it actually looks like. And so dream with me and imagine with me, but know that the heart of the pastoral team in this series is that this would not just be an imagination exercise for us, that we'd actually be stepping into and living out our missional vocation as the people of God wherever we go. So last week, Kathy looked at prayer. This week, I'm going to look at this idea of sentness and our sent places. But I'm going to date myself because someone asked me the other week when I went to Bible college, and it was a really confronting conversation because I realized just how long ago that was. Oh, it's awkward. I was about half the age I am now. But I remember going to Bible college so hungry to learn who God was. I wanted to know more about the character of God, the nature of God. Who is this God that I worship, that I serve, that we believe in, that we follow? And that's exactly what Bible College did. We got to study that a whole bunch. And as part of that, it made us study the activity of God, because you know somebody by what they do. And what God does a lot is save and redeem and restore. And yet, one of the things that obviously didn't stick in my brain, that was very quick to come to mind as I prepared this message, was the sending activity of God. Have you ever thought about how our God is a sending God? That repeatedly and consistently throughout the Bible story, God sends things, usually someone, some people, to achieve a purpose for which he sent them. Like, just lob yourself anywhere in the Bible story and look for the ways that God is sending. He sends his word to make creation. He sends individuals like Joseph and Abram and Jonah. He sends kings and judges and prophets. He sends his word, and ultimately he sends his son Jesus into the world. This is how God showed his love among us. 1 John 4 verse 9, he sent. He sent his one and only son that we might live through him. And one of the things that we see is that we not only have this sending God, but we have this Savior who is incredibly aware of his sentness. So when we read through the Gospels, we repeatedly see Jesus saying, I'm just doing what my Father wants me to do. I'm speaking what my Father wants me to speak. This is why I have come. And as he looks towards the cross, he says, this is what must take place. He has a profound sense of clarity over his calling, his purpose, and his sentness. And as he nears the kind of culmination of his life, the eve of his death on the cross, or the eve of, you know, happens the next day, he prays this prayer in John 17, which Kayla read for us. And I don't know if you picked it up on it, but 9 times in this prayer, at one of the most crucial moments in his life, one of the most crucial prayers that he prays, he uses the word sent 9 times, constantly referencing that he has been sent by the Father. And then he prays for his disciples, and he prays for all future disciples, and he says this, he prays this in verse 18. And this is important, so please don't miss the link. Jesus prays for us, and he says, God, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them. My friends, God is a sending God, and we are a sent people. We are his sent people. Just like Jesus, albeit a little different, there is a great purpose and calling on our lives. In the same way that God the Father has sent the Son into the world, now God the Son sends us into the world. He sends us to make known the greatness and the goodness and the character of God, to proclaim to our world with words and our lives that the kingdom of God has drawn near, to be and to bring the light of Jesus so that many, many, many more might come into a living relationship with him. This is no small calling that's upon our lives, is it? Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm faced with something that feels really big, that like I'm not almost up to the task for it, I have a really trusty bag of excuses that I reach for. Does anyone else have that bag? Yeah. Mine's a backpack and a briefcase, and I slip them. I make sure that I'm always armed with excuses just in case I'm called to do something that I feel, that's a bit too big for me. And so I get a sense that for us, it's so natural for us to reach for that bag of excuses. When we think about, oh my goodness, in the same way that the Father sent the Son now sends us, we can think about it and go, well, no, I'm too young. Maybe I'm too old. I'm too new a Christian. Maybe I'm not good enough as a Christian. Not experienced enough. I'm too out of touch with culture. I'm too introverted. I'm too busy. And so on, the excuses can go. But I want to remind us that our sentness is not based on our qualifications. It's grounded in the one who sends. Our God is a sending God, and as part of his good and perfect plan for the world, he sends us into it to show and reveal the goodness of Jesus that others may respond. Have you ever taken a really long time to think about an answer to what seems to be a really simple question. Yeah? This is not an IQ test. It's okay. No one's marking you. There's no ATAR score attached to this. But I think it happens all the time, and I think it often happens in small groups. So here's an example. In a small group, you might say, hey, what can we pray for you this week? And you kind of sit there, and your eyes go up, and you go, and you have to, like, think about it. Like, that should be a really simple question for us to answer, right? Well, I think one of the simple questions that we often get asked, maybe in a small group or certainly in the context of our church, is where is your sent place? And I must admit that if someone asks me that question, I have that same response. I sit there and I look up and I go, and it's not that I've forgotten what I do during the week. It's not that I've forgotten where I live or where I go or the people that I see and the people that I interact with. I think what we tend to do in that moment is we're trying to find a really good answer, because we're trying to find, well, what is this perfect sent place? What is this optimal place or this group that I'm a part of that's I'm going to be maximum effective for the gospel in there? And so you go, well, I could say that place, but I'm always so busy and everyone seems so close there. I could talk about that group, but I haven't been a great witness for Christ there the last couple of years. Do you know what I mean? I think we're all looking for this perfect sent place, or we're waiting for this perfect sent place to appear. And I just want to remind us of the actual commission of Jesus and ask us to stop waiting for perfect sent places, or stop looking for perfect sent places, and actually start embracing our sentness as who we are, as something that we carry into every place, into every group of people. And so I want to demystify this a little bit. I'm going to labour this point because it's the main point of the message today. And I just want to raise your hands if you do have permanent work. Raise your hands if you have permanent work. Doesn't need to be full-time, just part-time. You have permanent work. Awesome. So your workplace is a sent place. Are you not convinced? Yeah. Your workplace absolutely is a sent place, right? And it's not because it's a workplace. So it's not about the context. It's not about where you're going. Your workplace is a sent place because you are there. You who have been sent by God, you who carry the hope of Jesus wherever it is that you go. Who here has a place that they call home? If anybody doesn't, come see me afterwards. We'll pray for provision of a home. People are like, not sure, right? Your home is a sent place. Right? The people that dwell in your house, your home, the neighborhood, the people that live around your home is a sent place. And it's not because somebody's paying the rent or paying the mortgage. It's because you live there and the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit loves doing most is helping point people to Jesus. Your school, a workplace, groups, sporting clubs, PNC committees if you're part of them, any board that you're a part of, all of these are sent places. The hairdresser that you see every time you get your haircut, a sent place, because you go with there as the ones who are sent by God. You know, I think sometimes we want to treat the Great Commission like it's a little bit more specific and subjective than that. You know, Jesus comes at the end of his life and says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so therefore go into some of your life, to some of your people, some of the time when the mood strikes just right, where you've had a really good devotional that morning, where the humidity's not too bad and the people seem really responsive to you, and go and make disciples, right? But what is the Great Commission? All authority's been given, and so Jesus sends us. As we're going, every part of our life, to go and make disciples. Our God is a sending God, and we are his sent people, wherever we go, whoever we connect with. And I recognize that that's just something that we can intellectually agree with today and go, yep, absolutely, that's in the scriptures. But what's far more powerful and what's far more important is that we actually personalize it. That we actually recognize that this is who God sees us to be. And this is the calling that is on our lives. And so I actually want to give us all together today a moment to respond and to engage in that. And I'd love to do it by using Isaiah chapter 6. Hopefully this is a fairly familiar passage to a bunch of you. But if it's not, it's in the context of a vision that a guy called Isaiah in the Old Testament is having of God. In Isaiah 6 verse 8, there is this invitation, this question that is asked of God in earshot of Isaiah. And then I heard the Lord of the voice saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Now the context for this ask is that God's heart is for his people. I mean, it is so for his people. Yahweh wants someone to go, to be sent in order to call his people back to covenant faithfulness, to right relationship with him. His heart is so for his people to experience the fullness of the blessings of what it means to be in right covenantal relationship with him. He wants to bless, he wants to heal, he wants to restore, he wants to welcome home, and he wants to send someone as part of that activity. And Isaiah, hearing this question and hearing this invitation with his heart for his fellow Israelites, responds, "Here am I, send me." It's making himself wholly available to God, to be used by God, to be sent to his people, for God to speak through and to invite, to call, to work, to bring them home. And so I actually want us to do this. In a second, I'm going to get you to stand. We're going to think about a couple of things. And then I'm going to ask that same question. Because I believe the Lord is continuing to ask that question in every generation, to every believer. And then if you feel, you know what, I'm in. I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I actually want to be in. I want to be one of the sent ones of God wherever I go. And I want you simply just to respond by praying a prayer in your heart. You don't even need to say it out loud. Just say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." And I think it's really nice to back that up with some sort of physical activity as well. So it hands out, "Here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Send me." So I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes because this is between you and God. You don't need to worry about what the person next to you does. You don't need to worry about what the person next to you thinks that you are doing. And as you close your eyes and as we together anticipate this question from God, I actually want you to imagine the faces of the people in your sent places who don't yet know Jesus. Just imagine the faces of the people that don't yet know Jesus in your life. Think about their story, their personality, their hopes. Think about what some of those people mean to you. It's confronting, but I'd ask you to feel the weight of their lostness. If Jesus returned tonight, what would that mean for them? Take a moment to dream of the difference that knowing Jesus would make in their life. And with that heart for the people in our sent places, hear the voice of the Lord saying, inviting, asking, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Oh, Jesus, I just want to lift up every person in this room that responded with a yes, "Here I am, send me." God, I want to confirm and affirm and commission them into that calling and that sense of purpose in their lives. God, would you give them, would you give me great boldness and great courage and conviction to live this out every day amongst the people and the places that you have sent us. God, we want to pray for those people. We want to pray for those places that you would be at work, that you would soften hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you would open eyes to the reality and the truth and the beauty of Jesus. God, that you would cause those people in those places to hunger and to yearn for something more. And would you, yeah, cause them to reach out, to search for you, to question where they're at with you as well. And God, would you anoint us? Would you empower us? Would you live through us in those places that others may see, not us, but you? And respond by saying yes to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, feel free to grab a seat. We're not quite done today because I can't help myself. So as we're sent, there's obviously so many things we need to think about, okay, well, as a sent one, what do I do? How do I pray? How do I speak? And we're going to kind of explore those in other weeks coming. But I actually want to just leave you with three really simple encouragements that as you go, as a sent one of God into the places and amongst the people that God has sent you, I think we just need that courage. And I want to ground it in a very real example in my life. So we have just had neighbours move in next to us. Husband and wife and a 4-year-old boy. Now we live in a duplex, so these people are literally under the same roof as us, okay? So do you think that might be one of the sent places in my life? No? So you're letting me off the hook? Okay. of course I am. Now Kay's been around and has met them while I was at work during the week, but absolutely, I'm just so conscious that this is right on my doorstep. Certainly in the conversation so far, we're not aware if these people have any sort of faith. But I know that I don't go alone into that conversation and into that relationship and into the other side of the duplex. I know that God goes with me. God is with us in our sent places. So John 20, verse 21 and 22. So Jesus has prayed that amazing prayer in John chapter 17, just before he lays down his life on the cross, where he says, "In the same way that the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." Now, 3 days later, the disciples have been through a fairly traumatic couple of days, so they might have missed that, right? So Jesus reiterates it, recommissions them after he has been raised from the dead. So Jesus appears and he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When it comes to our sent places, we go in and with the presence of Jesus. Does that make sense? Does anyone else draw a little bit of courage from that? Yeah? God is with us in our sent places. And the second encouragement is that in our sent places, God is already at work. And I loved some of those open mic stories speaking about that. Then when we think about the people in our lives that don't yet know Jesus, we're not going into a spiritual vacuum. But God has placed eternity in their hearts. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. God has placed eternity in the human heart. He's created them in his image. He's placed within them this yearning, this inability to be truly satisfied and experience the abundance of life apart from a relationship with him. So in our sent places, God is already at work. And he's working in their lives and he's working in their hearts. For me, I see this really clearly in Paul's life. So there's a story in Acts chapter 17. Paul's in Athens and he's waiting for some people. He's just going about his everyday life. And as he goes about his everyday life in this city, as someone who is clearly self-identified as a sent one, as a missionary, as a witness, as an ambassador for Christ, he notices the spiritual environment that's around him. And so we read in verse 16 that while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he can see people's spiritual hunger, their spiritual yearning, their search for truth, their search for their divine, their need to be fulfilled and satisfied. And for Paul, this turns into this beautiful actual kind of gospel presentation where he's able to recognize this and call it out and go, "You're looking, but you're just looking in the wrong place. Let me point you and let me share Jesus with you." And one of the things that he says to them, talking about the way that God has created them, he says in verse 27 that God has done this so that people would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. That person at your school, in your workplace, that seems so closed off to a faith conversation, that seems so far from the kingdom of heaven, God is not far from them. God has not given up on them. God is at work even in the hardest, driest spiritual places. And he will continue to be inviting people to be home. It's the very reason that Jesus is delaying his return. So God is with us in our sent places, and in our sent places, God is already at work. And lastly, just one really simple encouragement from Acts chapter 3, and that is what we're talking about is everyday life. I talk to a lot of people who feel very busy, who feel very overwhelmed, and the thought of another thing somewhere in their life is too much. Like, I don't want to be going on mission trips midweek every week. I just don't have time for it. I don't have time for another week out. Do you know what I mean? But what we're invited to is that as we go, that where we go, we are sent. Where we already are, amongst the people that God has already placed us. That is the context often for the way that God does amazing things. And so there is an amazing example of a healing in Acts chapter 3 and a beautiful response to the gospel of Jesus as people come to faith for the first time. But the context in verse 1 is super ordinary. We just read that one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Do you know what we just read in Acts chapter 2? That every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. This is like Acts 3 verse 1 reading, Kathy and Steve were driving to Parramatta Baptist Church on Sunday morning. Right? Travis was driving home on Monday afternoon via preschool to pick up his daughter. And I'm hoping that one day I'll be able to jump up here on an open mic and be able to say, one day I was out the front, I was mowing my lawn, and I connected with my neighbour. It's the everyday stuff of everyday life that's the context for God to connect us and with those who don't yet know him, to work through us, to live through us, if we position ourselves as those who are sent by him. And if we're looking for the ways that God is at work, if we're hungry for the ways that we want to join with Jesus in seeing lives transformed. And you imagine 700 of us living this way. Every day. Every workplace. Every school. Every sporting group. Every supermarket. Every hairdresser's. Oh my goodness, they've got it coming. God is good, and my experience of him is that he delights in saving people and welcoming them home. And it would seem to me that one of the ways that he continues to do that, and he delights to do that, is in sending his children, those who already know him, into the world to make him known. So make him known in your life, in your neighborhood, amongst the people and the places that God has sent you.